Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. A window into the strange and sick world of Jewish Hollywood was opened earlier this week when a young man named Michael Egan courageously filed a lawsuit taking on a multimillionaire film mogul and current darling of the media, Jewish film director Bryan Singer. In his suit, Mr. Egan alleges that Singer, creator of the popular X-Men films and producer of the television show House MD, repeatedly homosexually raped him at Hollywood orgies when he was a teenager. Egan says that, quote, he and other minors were passed around like pieces of meat at sex parties, and he claims Singer was not alone, close quote. These events happened in the late 1990s, according to Egan, when he was lured by Singer and others into accepting employment with Mark Rector's Digital Entertainment Network for $1,500 a week, with little or no real duties except showing up at parties and being flown in a private jet to attractive locations with other teenage boys, starting when he was 15. Rector owned the estate where Egan says the coercive sexual acts took place. Bryan Singer, by the way, was around this same time producing an exploitative anti-Nazi film entitled Apt Pupil, featuring a relationship between an adult male and a teenage boy with strong homosexual overtones. Several high school boys employed as extras in the film filed a lawsuit at the time claiming that Singer had forced them to strip nude for his sexual gratification. The now defunct Digital Entertainment Network, DEN, was a very early attempt to bring video entertainment online. A valid concept, but interestingly, after raising more than $70 million in private and venture capital, Rector and his friends, for some strange reason, devoted every single one of the 26 series they developed to teenage boy subcultures, necessitating the hiring of many young male actors. One of the programs produced by DEN was Chad's World, an execrable example of homosexual fantasy and propaganda, complete with a young teen boy coming to live with a wealthy, gay Hollywood couple on their estate, and the savage beating of a homophobic white father by the wealthy homosexual's black bodyguards. It's watchable on YouTube. Egan states that there was a no swimsuit rule at the pool parties at the estate, and he was anally raped and forced to perform oral sex innumerable times by numerous Hollywood moguls and their associates. On one occasion, when Egan made himself scarce instead of being available for sexual activity on demand, he was told that the moguls at the estate, quote, controlled Hollywood and would destroy his hopes and dreams of an acting career if he did not keep them happy, close quote. A commenter at the TMZ media site states, quote, I've personally seen Bryan Singer with young boys. Anyone remember those young twins he was parading around Comic-Con? No one said a word, close quote. Singer reportedly has a thing for young twins, and a pair are reportedly living with him. Another observer states that Singer's perversion was well known, quote, this is common knowledge on all his productions. The production office on X-Men was particularly afraid for a 17-year-old Singer had flown in for his pleasure, close quote. Another said, quote, I totally believe it. He likes young Gentiles, close quote. Egan says he was given drugs against his will and taken aside for threat sessions by members of Rector's and Singer's circle, and told they were part of the, quote, group that controls Hollywood. We have gaydar, meaning they knew he was gay, which he wasn't, and therefore knew he wanted the sex acts they forced on him. And, continuing the quote, at the end of the day, if you don't keep us happy, we can eliminate you. We will eliminate you. Threat after threat after threat. You were like a piece of meat to these people. they'd pass you around between them. If I could define what that house was, it's evil." Close quote. Egan was threatened with firearms and with harm to his family when he became reluctant to provide sex to this group that controlled Hollywood, and he says he is far from their only victim. Quote, "Several people killed themselves. I'm very lucky to be here. I didn't know who I could trust to talk to." Close quote. Egan says that after he broke off relations with Singer and Company around the year 2000, his mother went to the Los Angeles Police Department and the FBI on his behalf. But, surprise, surprise, nothing was done. TMZ also states, quote, "Sources familiar with the situation say there's a weekly party in L.A. that recruits very young men, advertising 18 and up, but often attended by people with fake IDs who are underage, along with a bunch of very powerful older men in Hollywood. The parties are usually held every Thursday night at various nightclubs in the Hollywood and West Hollywood areas. The night of the party, promoters walk around and get the phone numbers of very good-looking guys who appear young. The promoters then text the people who fit the desirable profile and invite them to a weekend party at a private home. The home parties often have hundreds of guests, the young guys along with a number of Hollywood heavyweights, including major agents, movie and TV producers and directors, and big names in music. We're told there are plenty of private places for people to go, but sometimes things happen out in the open. Toward the end of the evening, a select few are invited to an after party, and that's where things often swing out of control. We're told the parties often have drugs and alcohol readily available, and it's very clear. Sex is the end game. As for Bryan Singer, he has denied the allegations made by his accuser. That said, we're told he attends some of the Thursday night parties." Close quote. Egan's attorney stated that, quote, "Hollywood moguls have been using their positions of authority to exploit children sexually." Close quote. One damning fact is that Singer's and others' behavior were an open secret in heavily Jewish Hollywood, but no one of significance, that is, someone with clout, unlike Egan's mother who just got blank stares from the authorities, even cared to do anything about it. These money men and movie men, sexual perverts or not, are part of America's ethnically distinct ruling oligarchy and feel they operate under a different set of rules than their subjects. They feel they are virtually untouchable. The crowd at these estate parties was a who's who of DEN investors, advisors, and executives, and many working with the company were Jews. Name-changing Rector, now Collins Rector, and living it up with young boys in London, is probably Jewish, as are Singer and DEN crew acquaintances David Geffen, a notorious homosexual, and Sandy Gallen. Randy Maslow was both Rector's attorney and business partner. It's no secret that a large, decisive percentage of Hollywood moguls are Jews. It's also well known that powerful Jews and Jewish groups have been central to the normalization, one might even say the deification, of homosexuality in this country. Another Jewish Hollywood figure, Corey Feldman, says that as a child actor himself, he was surrounded by a powerful group of pedophiles who were everywhere in Hollywood. He credits the early death of another Jewish child actor, Corey Haim, with the actions of this omnipresent circle of powerful men. These people are so out of control, they're even preying on their own. More than 75% of the top executives of major media companies in America are Jews, controlling almost all that you and your family see and hear about the world. That is an overrepresentation of 3,650%. They and the activist groups they support are firmly behind the normalization of sexual perversion, beginning, but I assure you, not ending, with homosexuality. Securing our race's natural and potentially infinite continuity and progress into the future should be our society's most important goal, and it is the central purpose of the National Alliance. Having a proper understanding of our sexual nature is a part of that, an essential part. We who presume to lead white society away from its present death march need to embody a life-affirming attitude toward our sexuality. We cannot allow those who embody the opposite to lead us or control our media. Sex is sacred, not in a conventional religious dogmatic sense, but really sacred, most highly valuable, inviolable, entitled to reverence and respect. If we do not honor, respect, and revere our sexual nature, which brought us into being, if we do not honor and respect that, then what can we respect? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And therein lies the cause of much of the misery and purposelessness of the modern world. The part of our nature that makes men and women come together and stay together is what connects us with the distant past, an actual physical, material connection all the way back to the beginning of life, and possibly to an infinite future. Homosexuality, pedophilia, and the other multiform perversions of Jewish Babylon are a rejection of that sacred bond, a rejection of that continuity. Jewish Babylon embodies a set of attitudes and behaviors that mock sex and degrade it, at worst, into a disease-infested chamber of horrors and death, and at best, into a sick and pathetic kind of game. Some homosexuals are born, and one pities them, but I am not at all sure that it is the great majority. Homosexuals and other deviants do recruit, and they usually recruit teens or preteens who are at a very vulnerable stage in their lives. Some of these children, tricked into experiencing sexual pleasure for the first time at the hands of a pervert, are imprinted, like the baby ducks who think a human is their mother if they see a human first upon hatching. They are imprinted by the experience, and henceforth identify members of their own sex as appropriate mates for them. Some of them, like some of Rector's victims, are horrified and try to end their own lives. But others go on to recruit others and perpetuate the tragedy. It's very sad, very sick, and very harmful to our race. How many white children suffered, and how many were never born because of this? I see sex, family, and race as a kind of natural trinity. When sex is decoupled from the other two, as the Jewish establishment and trash culture and the antinatal crowd want it to be, then it becomes nothing more than a source of sensation, a bodily function, with little more significance than sneezing. Viewed in that way, our enemies say, why should we disparage or restrict whatever causes pleasure? Why not a bit of voluntary masochism or sadism? Why not wife swapping as long as everyone agrees? Whatever floats your boat, right? Why not sex with animals as long as the animals aren't hurt? Why not pedophilia, as a few chosen psychologists are starting to say, isn't really harmful after all? Why not sex with machines? Why not the orgasmatron machine posited by Jewish comedian and putative child abuser Woody Allen? Why not non-stop high-definition 3D porn? It gives pleasure and reduces the white birth rate. All good, right? So obviously, why not homosexuality and bisexuality and any kind of sexuality you can think of? After all, don't the pop songs tell us any kind of lovin' is all right, and if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, and it's okay to walk on the wild side? Once you take away the sanctity of the sexual act and its natural linkage to family and race, there's no limit to the unnatural acts that can and will ensue and be promoted to our young people under the rubric of whatever gets your rocks off, meaning whatever gives you pleasure. The point is, once we have thrown out our sexual standards and accepted the pure pleasure principle, there is then no limit to the perversions we will be asked to accept. Prudishness, which came into our culture, at least partially, via the Torah and the people of the Torah, is a negative influence too, and I think it sometimes forces suppressed sexuality into abnormal channels. Witness the legendary levels of perversion among celibate priests. Making normal sex into something shameful or evil puts it on a more or less equal footing with perversions, doesn't it? I think that normal sexuality should be celebrated in our art and our media, and I would encourage such a trend if I had the power to do so. The classical attitude toward nudity in art, for example, which experienced a great resurgence in the years from the Renaissance up to the late 19th century, is wholly healthy and good, in my view. The artistic worship of the beauty of the body provides a respectful, yet still sensual outlet for expression of our normal sexual attitudes. With enough of it officially encouraged, sleazy pornography would wither on the vine. And artistic presentations of the body also offer an idealized vision of racial perfection, too, something that the Jews well know, which is why they prefer abstract or primitive art, in which racial ideals couldn't be expressed even if the artist wanted to do so. Do you want your children to grow up in Jewish Babylon? Do you want your children to be influenced and swayed and recruited by the likes of Bryan Singer in the evil funhouse that used to be called America? Or would you rather have them grow up in a decent, healthy country, like the old America? Or better yet, a renewed America, an alliance-led America, a new America in which these purveyors of filth and corruptors of youth would have no place, ever. In the new America we want to build on the ashes of Jewish Babylon, our young people will be taught who they are. They will be taught that they are the inheritors of European civilization, from the ancient hills of Hellas, where our ancestors and their kin first numbered the stars and measured the vault of heaven, from the British plains, where our ancient relations built storied Stonehenge as an observatory and a temple, to the Russian cosmodromes of Eurasia and the coastal sands of Cape Canaveral, where Germans and Russians and Americans and Europeans of many nationalities sent our race on its first steps to the stars. In the new America we will build, our young people will respect themselves and one another too much to fall for the lies that bind them now. In the new America we will build, our young men and women will know that the purpose of their lives is to continue on the upward path and build a new land, a whole new world of greatness beyond our wildest imaginings. It will be a world in which we know that the reason for our sexuality, our joy, and our fulfillment is the continuation of our uniquely beautiful and creative race, and its upward evolution toward what we, with our limited vocabulary, can only call godhood. If you too want your children and their children, and so on into infinity, to grow up in such a world, I urge you to join our alliance today. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the reconstituted National Alliance membership organization, founded by William Luther Pierce in 1970. This program is published every week at whitebiocentrism.com and nationalvanguard.org. Please write to us at National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. We welcome your support, your inquiries, and your help in spreading our message of hope to our people. Once again, that address is Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you of the words of Richard Berkeley Cotton. Freedom is not free. Free men are not equal, and equal men are not free.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout.